The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't fence corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord, as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Well, welcome tonight to day two of this meeting. We bless the Lord for His mercies on us. We thank Him for the privilege to be part of what He's doing nowadays. I will thank the Lord for yesterday's meeting. I believe we were blessed by heaven yesterday. I believe we were helped. So, the mandate of the gospel is standing, and like I said, today is apostolic, but it is inclusive with everyone that is connected to the apostolic trust. It was given to the 12 apostles. It's also given to all that walk with them. So you will see in scriptures, you see Paul say, and we. What we found with Paul's commission was God said, separate to me Paul and Barnabas for the work. Okay? They are the two major apostles that were separated for the work. But you find that depend always with them and other people who actually are all connected to the message. There's hardly anybody you see connected to Paul who does not have trust. Who does not have trust of the gospel. Even when you see Paul talking about those who render help to him, personal help to him, they also have a trust of the gospel hanging on them. So there's nobody in church whose assignment should be away from preaching the gospel. I don't know if you're what I'm saying now. There's nobody in church either doing one thing or the other at whatever level should be raised with the saints and should also be aware of his trust in the gospel message. There's no bond of free, there's no male and female, there's no gender difference. Everybody. It may look as if some have the trust more apparent in church, and that should not remove the equipping of all the saints for that purpose at all levels of their relevances. I think that's what I'm saying. Say amen. You can't just say I'm driving daddy. That's not for me. No, it's not enough for you. It's not enough for you. The gospel trust is upon you. By the grace of God, should rest on you more because you do those services. So the mindset should not be like, let the rest of them who can preach, go and preach. And you never have inclination of every privilege of preaching the gospel. Once you drive back to where it's going, you park, and your own assignment is done. That positioning does not exist in the spirit. You are changing yourself from the flow of life of the spirit. So there's no menial job you do that exempts you from the assignment. It's a whole house assignment. It's a whole team assignment. Say amen. I went in the house to that place. Because it's all about your development in the spirit. It's all together about your development in the spirit. And nothing will replace that role. Praise the Lord. I believe we are adjusting our mindset. And that's one of the reasons for this meeting, is to adjust our mindset concerning the gospel. Amen. Let me read from Matthew again today as we pick on Matthew 24 verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. You can see the reason why love for one another becomes very, very important. Because in those days, there will be hate for one another. And shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. You can see many false prophets, many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Men are not going to be, with the passion to want to make the gospel known anymore. Coldness will come. Love of many shall wax. One of the places we find you measure lukewarmness is in the passion to preach. One of the main experience of God's love, for God so loved the world, He gave His Son. So one of the highest experience of love is giving the Son to other people. I don't know what I'm saying now. Because God loved the world and gave His Son. So one of the highest experience of the Son is God, is you also in the job of giving the Son to other people. It's the highest love. It's higher than giving somebody clothes to wear. That's why when you move to charity, charity goes beyond that. I give my body to the bond. Can you see that? It goes beyond that. It goes into blessing man with nature, with God's nature. So you can see there, and this gospel, can you see this gospel? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I'm just saying to say that it's going to be till the end come. Amen. And so, it's not just going to be one man thing. It's going to be a whole team, a whole sending company. A whole sending company. Ranking from the leadership down to the last person. It's going to carry that same trust. That's how it was in the day of the apostles, and that's how it's going to be at the end of time. That's how the church began. That's how the church will end. Most of the time, we can always picture the end from the beginning. Because the end, the pattern of the end, is what began it. And so, we must escape from all the other designs of lukewarmness that has been designed by modernization to weaken faith, to weaken heart. Modernization and the technology, all of that, many of the time, tamper with our trust. It looks as if it's effective, but it's not. Until you meet people you have sent message to before, and then you know that they didn't know what you sent. When it comes to talking together. So today we have a kind of satisfaction when we are able to get message to people, and we feel we have done the job. But the job of the gospel is put actually in preaching with the mouth. With the mouth. Say amen. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And then shall the end come. So the end will not come until this gospel is preached to all nations. Hallelujah. Are we together today, please? So, it was good that over the week, over the week, the emphasis on the scriptures, on the scriptures, was much in all nearly all the meetings. And that is not ordinary for us to know that the scriptures was given to guide us into truth. Scriptures was given to guide us. It means that without the scriptures, it would be difficult to preach the gospel. Without the scriptures. Even if Jesus appeared to you in your dream. If he appeared to you in your dream and he tells you, I'm the Lord that died on the cross, he will still refer you to according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. So the issue of the scripture is very, very God, you see, God is terrible. God knew the end from the beginning. He knew all the lie. One thing about the Bible and the gospel actually is in the prophetic understanding of times, all the times. The Bible captures all of human evolution till the end. There's nothing happening today. And that will happen tomorrow. That the Bible has not captured. In prophecy. The scribes, sometimes the scribes will so much lose it on things, on persons, that will make you know exactly that this is the person. There is no other book on earth. There is no second book on earth that has that power of description of event, places, people in the past, in the present, and the future. There is no other book on earth here. So, this book is one terrible book. One terrible book that has been given to man. So for man to navigate his way back to God and not miss the way. We thank the Lord for the, when you say the apostles, for example, what's about the apostles that makes them very important in our journey? Because first, they were the one who first got the map. Can you see what I'm saying? They're the first one who got the map, and so they can help others who are going on that journey. The journey they have already taken or they have been taken through, it's easier for you to be guided. So with that apostolic trust, your journey could be, the devil can assault your journey. Amen. It can assault your journey. The journey could be with much hazard because of the hazard in the spirit. But God just pick man. God cannot pick all of us. Like he picked the apostles. Number one, not many of men can endure the discipline of that time. And even up to today, in God raising apostles today, not many people can go through the discipline of election. So, God could have picked all of us and begin to lead all of us. But because of that, he will pick, just like God went ahead to pick Abraham. By the time you see Abraham's faith lifestyle, you know that not all men can go through this discipline of Abraham's walk with God. Amen. And so God looks out very well. God looks out in the midst of the jungle of the earth and the jungle of uncertainty and decadence of man's soul. He plays a lot of things sometimes to the point of even to parenting. Location, he did all of that to just get one. To just get one. And so that he can walk in that one. And that one can, with patience, gradually, what God will do in them for 3 years. Look at them, 3.5 years with Jesus. See what they turn out to. Many of us have been 30 years with Jesus. We have not amounted to anything of the apostles. with church, with Bible studies, with teachers. What Christ achieved with the apostles in 3.5 years. To know that it was a short walk. And also the nature of their soul, of their person, to also allow such work to be done. And so God will always do that and use them as a guide for many of us, many people who now fall into different rankings of movement. So you can see that next 20 years, they're still working on us. Amen. And they have been apprehended, so they keep working. What was wrought in few years can be done in men gradually, until every one person is brought into the promise. Say amen. So I'm always saying that it's the same thing. What the apostles, what they came into? They came into the spirit of the scriptures. They came into the spirit of revelation that wrote the scriptures to find the purpose of what the scriptures was ordained for. Because really scriptures was ordained for salvation. There's no reason for all the prophets, all the writers of the scriptures. The primary essence, forget the fact that those who, when they were written, salvation may not be in view. Those who wrote them may not really have the mind of how the old world will be saved. But the same spirit who was working in them without them knowing, guided them in all the writings. Can you see that? To put in place enough. Can you see a book like Esther? Esther does not have the name God one time. That's the only book in the Bible. It does not have God. And that book is a vital book of scriptures. So how will God have steered? And it didn't happen in the land of Judah. It happened in captivity. So it was a story that happened away from home. Yet, everything that God has in mind concerning the church was played out there. Okay, so that is why scripture is vital if you are going to find salvation. You can't find salvation outside scripture. What did I say, please? You can't. You can't find salvation. God has already done a great job by allowing the prophet to write. The prophets, either they saw, they also write. God enabled them to write. Many of them, it was burden, it was vision they saw, but they wrote. And so you say, all the scriptures that were written, they were written. Written at different times, written by different prophets, yet speaking about the same thing. How do you compare Esther? How do you compare Esther with Song of Solomon? Huh? Can you see a lot of similarities in those two books? Huh? It's all about Esther is the main theme of the place, which is the bride of Christ. In Song of Solomon, Shulamite is the peak, is the goal. It's the bride. So how would those things play out and then play out in that same synchrony? Away from the people who wrote them at different times. So God already saying that he has witnesses. He put witnesses among men. Does he know somebody is going to come one day that will have no witness? That will witness himself. He's the only one who saw the angel. He was the only one. Nobody else saw anything. Not one time. There's somebody else. So you know that actually that thing is an antichrist. And that's why everything that did there, that is done there is against Christ. It's directly, not just systematically, directly. To the point of even saying, God has no son. Can you see that? So, God has already put in place enough witness of what he's doing. He doesn't just want to be the God in heaven who can do all things and do it in his own way. He wants man to be involved. He came to the word of man and used what man can rely on. to bring out his purposes. And we see all of that painted out in the scriptures. Amen. So every preacher, there's nobody who's going to say, I'm a preacher, who will not take scripture in high esteem. We don't preach anything away from scriptures. All scripture is given, all scripture. I say all scripture. It's talking about, it is all scriptures. Though they are all scriptures, they are scriptures. That is, Book of Psalm is a scripture. Song of Solomon is a scripture. Ecclesiastes is a scripture. They are all scriptures. They were written 1:1, and they were scriptures. But all together, they are saying all scripture. That is all scripture that is witnessing about salvation, pointing to God's intervention in the affairs of men. All those scriptures is given. He called them is. So they become is. I understand that's going to be learned later on, that the scriptures was not like this one from beginning. Say amen. That's where sometimes some people, one or other, either the other religion or other ideology, comes to say that, why are you exalting the Bible? The Bible was written by man, yes. The Bible did not say that it was written by God. Can you see? Somebody will say their own book came from heaven. Men believe it. They don't argue it. And since it has come from heaven, nothing has changed in it. Nobody is saying it may not be true. But this one that they gave to us, the way it is raw, without trying to do something that looks supernatural. Yes. Man will want to say, is this book written by man? It's written by man, but why all these men written about the same thing at different times, in different places? If there's no one spirit or one intention hanging on all of them, why are all of them? For that wrote over, the Bible, it was written over a span of about 1,500 years. That's the space between when the Bible was written. And it was authored by over 40 different people. And those people are not just all that. They are not prophets. There are kings there. There are scholars there. There are fishermen there. And you saw, okay, maybe all of them went to one special school of training. And they trained them alike. Different people from different areas of life. That correlation has never existed on the earth. Show me another book that has such correlation. There's no other book on the earth that has such correlation. You read Shakespeare books written by one man, and you believe the history of it. You believe in the history of it. You read Macbeth. You believe in the history of it. You believe that those people existed at a time, and the event happened at a time. They talk about something put together by more than 40 different people. Yet, you can go through all of them in saying one thing. You can start from Genesis and go through all of them. And not just like we are picking one verse from all of them, picking thoughts. Because verses are not thoughts. For all of them to expand the same thing that God has been saying. So, the scripture is one of the weapons we have for preaching. Without the scripture, we can't preach Jesus. That's why Paul said in that 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Moreover, he was speaking to the people. Now, concerning 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by the which ye also are saved. The gospel we preach unto you, by which ye also are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, if you keep in memory, unless ye have believed in vain. What happened? For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to... So you can't preach anything concerning salvation away from scriptures. And we don't need another book to support it. Scripture is complete, is adequate to establish everything that God did through Jesus Christ. How that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. How that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Can you see that? And that he was buried. Can you see? He was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Everything about Jesus Christ and the future of the church is according to the scriptures. No book can say it better than scriptures. Because no book is authored for that purpose. So, say amen. So we can see that it is true that it was at a time that this Bible was put together this way. But it has existed, yes, in different compartments. The book of Moses have been together like that. The book of Kings and all of that have been put together like that. We have Samuel, you know, we have 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles, all of that have been put together. Book of Songs, Psalm, Proverb have been put together like that. And it has been put together in Israel, not by church. So that is one of the job of Israel. The job of Israel is to keep the scriptures. And they have done that. So it's not, we are not the one keeping scriptures. It's Israel that kept scriptures. That's the fun thing about it. We are not the one. We are not the one defending, fighting for scriptures. It is Israel. God used Israel. One thing Israel was to do is to keep scripture. And God gave them that discipline. In those days, when they write the book of Isaiah in a parchment of a paper, rolled paper or skin of animal skin, all of that, yeah, scroll, if it gets old and I want to write it, they will painstakingly rewrite it. And the person who rewrite it, somebody else will come and reread it, compare it. Over and over again, until they are too sure nothing is missing. So those who are going to read it, and not those who wrote it, or who write it. And that happened, they will still not destroy the old one. So sometimes you find they are found in the Red Sea, for example, the Red Sea Scroll. Dead Sea Scroll, they have found parchment written many years in Dead Sea. Because they don't destroy them. But the new one becomes what they are handling because of the ability for it to be able to stay for a long time, longer time. But for one reason or the other one, maybe nations invade them, destroy the temple, all of that, can expose those ones they have kept in places in the tabernacle or temple. They can expose it to be scattered. That's why one or the other one, you find them being found. If you when you look at the book we have on the man Jesus, a lot was written there concerning how God brought salvation to a place where man can easily see that this is God's provision. That's exactly what that book is meant for. And I believe when it comes, also it's going to be like a walking manual for all of us in the church. Amen. What we're having today in morning dew, for example, they are materials from that place. It's meant to, because it's not just enough to say, I believe Jesus, I pray Jesus. You don't know the mindset of those you are preaching it to. You don't know what the devil has done in their mind against the scriptures, against the faith. As long as there's something they are holding on to, they won't believe you. So you must be able to have access to everything that about the gospel, both from its beginning and the way God, you know, put it together until it was delivered to us. So you can see that when the church began, for example, you can see that's when you have the other books. After Jesus left, you find other books like Matthew and all the Gospels being written by those who were close, who were available at that time. Okay, because it was written at a time not more than 100 years after Jesus Christ died. So those who wrote them as eyewitnesses of the experience, and they wrote them at a time when those who were living there were still alive. You know, history can be very terrible for event to happen and for it to be written at a time when those who were alive when it happened are still alive. Tells you how authentic the events and the story could be. Amen. I went to the house, please. But there are books that were written at more than 250 years. For example, the book read by the other religion, for example, it was the first account of his writing was after 250 years, after the dead. And what it means, 250 years after the dead. So those who are writing it never knew anything about it. It was just oral transfer. I know what is meant by oral transfer. The reason why African religion, all of that, it's not authentic, it's because it's oral transfer for a long time. But the scripture is not like that. It was God ensured that all those things were written at the space of time when were available and reliable by the. So the Bible has gone through lots of analysis by academia over the years, trying to prove, because the issue of Jesus, you don't believe it or you're against it. You can't be on the earth here and we're excited about it. It's a stone of stumbling. It's a rock of offense. Either fall on you, or you fall on it, one thing will happen. So, it's one faith that has met a lot of confrontation in trying to prove it's not really true. And in more than 80% of instances, those who are trying to prove it end up becoming a believer. That's another amazing thing. In more than 80% of it, those who genuinely want to go and prove that it's wrong, they end up being converted by the amount of evidences they meet. So I'm trying to say through that the scripture is reliable. Sometimes you can see it's true that at different times of human existence, they try to put it together as a Bible. And at those times, some books came into it. Okay? Because God did not say, this is books. It's not God that said that. It's human that put things together. So I'm saying now, if God did not say it should be verses, it's human that put verses there for easy references. So you know what I'm saying now? And so you can see the effort of man, yet under the guide of God, to make scripture more easily accessible and more easily read. Now that it's verses today, it's easy for us to quote it. Yeah. John 1:1 says that. It was not. Some people preach at the time, they don't say John 1:1. You just say, as saith Isaiah. As saith Jeremiah. But not you want to say, John 1:1 says, that person no Bible. They are the part of the things that we put there along the line. Okay? And so if you say, as saith Jeremiah, Jesus himself say, as saith Jeremiah. I said David. They don't mention exact chapter. Amen. By the time the apostles came in there, it still existed without chapters. So it was over the time that chapters and all those things came in there. Amen. I went to the house, please. Since man has discovered, because before Jesus Christ left, church discovered that the scripture was written concerning Jesus. Because Jesus himself affirmed himself from the scriptures. Luke 20. Let's see that last place of Luke. Amen. Twenty-five. Then he said unto them, O fools and sloth, are to believe all that the prophets, can you see that? To believe all that the prophets, so everything the prophets said or wrote, are all important. Have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, I want to say Moses, Genesis. He wrote Genesis. At Moses and all the prophets, he expanded unto them. I don't know how many scriptures Jesus Christ brought out that day. So, Jesus Christ must have stayed with them for a long time. From all the scripture. So when you say things a scripture, he said, expanded unto them in all things, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. That's why any message who say that God gave to the one preach does not entail all the scriptures. For example, when you look at some churches, you know the scripture they stay on. They don't need all the Bible to survive. And when you look at all their messages for the past 30 years, you can pick verses of Bible that they quote every time. So they don't really need all the scriptures. So something is wrong with that message. Something is wrong with that message. Something else is being shown that it's not Jesus. I went in the house, please. All the scriptures were all, he expanded on them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So Jesus was one who began, he was one who began the preaching. So all you see him preach in Matthew 5, 6, 7 were all from the scriptures in the light, and now the light of the kingdom of God. Say amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, they are in the scriptures. It's not new. The blessed are the meek, it's in Psalms, it's in the scriptures. There's no one standard that Jesus Christ lifted that it was self-generated. They were all hanging here and there in all scriptures, not put together. Well, the light of the kingdom now has put them together. Say amen. God scattered them like that one so that it will be a time of, how do you call it now? Time of, it will be a time of revelation. I'm talking about the time when things were not time of revelation. Time when things were given in dark sentences. Okay? So they were scattered like that one. But when light shone, light start gathering them together, bone to bone, flesh to flesh, and we start seeing the person of Christ. Say amen. So that is in all of them. And many times Jesus Christ is going to raise anything, raise them about marriage, about whatever, as it was in the beginning. And he will refer to a scripture. He won't go and fetch a scripture from heaven. It's like God has already been established in the beginning in the scriptures that men have not been seen. Jesus Christ established the issue of marriage going back to Genesis. So shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. And says, they are no more twin, but one flesh. And therefore, what God has joined together, that's the one he added to it. And from, it's just from that So it's not that he fetch it from our understanding. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. He just explained it further. Say amen. So, any scripture that is not going this way concerning salvation, then should not be in the Bible. And that's what was later done by the Septuagint, where the King James brought together 70 respected Bible scholars in that time to go into the Bible and put together a book that will represent the prophets, but that will represent what Christians need. They came out with the King James Version. So the other version of the Bible that may have something or more than what King James Version has. But over the years, we have looked at them. We have seen that there's nothing in those books that are needed more. Because Jesus himself never referred to them. Neither the apostles. For example, there's none of them that refer to the book of Maccabees. You can say as written in Maccabees. Do you see that any place in the gospel? Are we in the house, please? But we never accept Moses. We know the book of Moses. I said Jeremiah. I said Isaiah. We see all of that. I said David in the Psalm. Solomon is there. So nearly all the ones we find here today were referred to by Jesus and the apostles. So there are enough book. Thus, in preaching, that is needed to be established. It does not mean that you go everywhere telling you, no, as you speak from it, sometimes somebody will bring you back there. They'll bring you back there. Are you sure? Is that not what you're quoting? Is not from Jesus of Version. Isn't it not the king that they will tell stories about it? They will not say what God has done in the history of man to give us this one. It's reliable. Are we in the house together, please? So today you have other groups of Christians who say they are Christians, really speaking, who are not really Christians. Like Jehovah's Witness, for example. They have their own Bible. That one is even far. Because I can still preach Jesus from the book, from the Bible of the Jehovah's Witness. I can preach eternal life from it. With all the editing. Maybe it is what you know you edit. How many things I didn't know at that time to edit? Like I still used to preach the same thing I'm preaching now. But Latter-day Saints has gone far to get another book of Revelation away from the Bible. And they rely more on that book than the Bible. Actually, it's a bait. If you see the Bible in their hands, it's a bait. It is that book they use more. Book of Mormon. So you have various groups like that on the earth here. And it's all about the prophecy of the last days. Many prophets will come and say, I am Christ. All of that. False prophets will come to deceive many. Say, amen. So a lot of jobs sometimes has to be done for you to come to a place. Many of us got born again to church. We see church going on. We didn't go through all those azus. But when I went through all the azus to find out what book is reliable. And so I know why I stay in scriptures. Today, if you see any other book that looks interesting, you can be enticed to go into it. Because you have not gone through that azu to see why a bundle of scriptures is enough to preach Jesus that died on the cross, that was buried, and that rose again from the dead. Amen. I want the house to get that place. And because everybody seems to be right in their own way. You see children born into all those places now, they feel they are right. And because that's where they give back to you. But you never did it. You never did your own search. You didn't do your own search to find out what is true. And so, all I'm saying now is all for you also at different times to check out if they were so. Praise God. But I'm saying all of this so I will know that we have to till when Jesus comes. If you see me bring that book here, they know that something else has taken over. God forbid. God forbid. Because this picture is enough. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All scripture. And it's profitable. It is from there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means it's God breath. God breath. Men wrote. God did not write. God breath. Men wrote. That's like, you know, you can say, I perceive this in my heart. That's a breath. But when you want to write down, you use your own language to write down. That's why you see them coming up in different ways. In song, a psalm, in proverbs. That's the manner of how men were able to write it. But they all are breaths of God. And for the first thing, it's profitable for doctrine. So the first thing scriptures is meant for is doctrine. To put knowledge of the persons that you can adequately know God through scriptures. You can adequately know the Father through scriptures. You can adequately know Christ through the scriptures. So the first job of scriptures is to give you adequate knowledge of the divine persons. What did I say? First job of scripture is to give you adequate knowledge of the divine person. So it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is the knowledge of the persons, of the mystery. It's to adequately know him. And that's the first thing that scripture is meant for. In most places, some places or in some churches, scripture, they use scriptures, they don't use it first for doctrine. They use it for reproof. What we are doing is against the Bible. What are doing is against the Bible. What are doing is against the Bible. Show you what I'm saying? It is doctrine first, because you don't know what is wrong until you know doctrine. You can't know what is right or wrong until you are taught doctrine. That's why all those who are sent to build house, what they give them is doctrine. Moses said, my doctrine, my speech. Can you see that? Aha. Would it still? So, if you are, and you can see, Moses was also a servant who was faithful in all his house. Can you see that? And all this, he was sent to raise a house for God. If he is that, my doctrine shall drop as water as smoke. For my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. So, the first thing God gave to them was doctrine from the law. Moses must have learned doctrine. They gave doctrine to Moses from the law. That's the real knowledge of the law. So if you go to the law, for example, and start saying, man, those who say, Bible literally means to say that you shall not wear what you don't have doctrine of it. Keep quiet. You cannot use that verse. You can't pick a verse there if you don't have the doctrine of it. It is doctrine that gives the right application of the instructions. No, we can have a week of Bible conference. But let's just go on the measure of what we need as preachers, okay? Say, hey, man. So, you know, that's why it's not too safe to get born again and jump to Bible reading it to want to be saved. You will become all manner of things. All manner of spirit will land on your head. But the Bible is not just a book you can dive into. There are principles that guide life of the scriptures. And there are things that guide. And that's why God raised people and give them guideline of how to guide so that spirit don't have access. Because anywhere God's spirit in there, spirits want to go come there. They don't want God to get anything. They are not okay with the one they have gotten outside. They still feel that the one God is getting is too much for God. So spirits are all over churches. They are all over churches. So Are we in the house together tonight? Say amen. So you must rest got the point that you rest in scriptures. That's what is necessary for you to get to salvation. I like what he says concerning Timothy. Paul says concerning Timothy and the mother and the grandmother. But thou hast known the holy scriptures from thy youth, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. Uh-huh. So in such manner, doctrine must be first. You're going to be wise unto salvation. That wise, that wisdom is doctrine. You will not be saved if you don't have access to pure doctrine. And doctrine is the knowledge concerning the person of the divine, of divinity or deity. Is that doctrine? Doctrine is not our church doctrine. This is where boys, men sit. That's where women sit. That's not doctrine. That's church practice. Amen. That's church culture. Uh-huh. Women should not wear trousers in the head. It's our doctrine. It's not your doctrine. It's your church practice. Women don't use their ring. It's not doctrine. It's your church practice. You cover your hair. It's not church doctrine. It's church practice. And so doctrine has to do with knowledge. It's not a verse. You don't take a verse for doctrine. It's a body of knowledge that you may understand my knowledge in the mystery. Out of revelation, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in all four times in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery. So it's knowledge in the mystery. You may understand my knowledge in the mystery. So doctrine is knowledge. Who shall it teach knowledge? Who shall it make to understand doctrine? So it's clear, then that I win from the milk and drawn from the breast. Without being drawn from, win from the milk or drawn from the breast, you can know scriptures. You can know verses. But you cannot have knowledge. So you can have no verses and not have knowledge. The one of the things that happened in the past, and I know God allowed this, is that some of the fathers of faith, God used milk to raise them and place them as fathers. And many of them plant churches. And at those point, they are accepted because God just wants children to be in churches. It's not time to raise them. He needed the church to gather them and be his people. And they have done their part very well. But actually that they were raised by milk. So, what many of them raise as doctrine is not doctrine. And that's what I'm saying. And they were not trying to do bad. It's what they knew they used. And Jesus permitted it. But in the days of maturation, when God will be raising things and making it perfect, he will have to go and lay it properly the way it should be. Say amen. Uh-huh. So, knowledge is key. And knowledge is not knowledge of Bible. Knowledge of the persons that the Bible is talking about. You can know Bible and not know the person the Bible is talking about. Just say, search the scriptures. In them ye think ye have eternal life. But actually, they are they that testify of me. I'm the one they are talking about. And you can get there and get stuck there. Because they also give you knowledge. But it's not knowledge of me. It is me you should look for when you go to scriptures. Are we in the house together, please? Say amen. And so, in the days of knowledge, knowledge cannot increase in church except doctrine is restored back. So, all scriptures are profitable first of all, doctrine. So, you can see that there was no doctrine that Timothy could raise for himself. Paul has raised all the doctrine. He was only instructing Timothy or reminding him. Yes. Giving commandments and charges on what you have to keep because of the revelations that has been taught. He was not teaching revelations in writing to them. He was always giving instructions, commandments, and charges. But based on the fact that you have heard the revelation. So let these things be done in this way. For doctrine, then for reproof. So it is after you have learned doctrine, you can now reprove people who deviate from the doctrine. Say, hey man, you can warn them. You can warn them. Therefore, correction, for instruction in righteousness. So what is righteousness? Doctrine is righteousness. In righteousness. So you can't instruct just by looking for wisdom in the Bible. It has to be in righteousness. What's righteousness? Christ. What's righteousness? The Father. What's righteousness? God. Say amen. I want the house to go that place. For example, the preacher talked about in the day of my vanity. Was vanity of vanity, all is vanity. So there's nothing under the sun, not anywhere, any of it is vanity. But we know that in Christ Jesus, that we have been saved from vanity. You know what I'm saying now? Aha. So for us, our end is not vanity. Can you see that? So when we learn from him all his vanity, we must ask perspective of the meaning of that. It's not to make us now to feel that all through our life we live for vanity. No. Can you see it now? So there's nobody who's the example. Christ is the example. So we can just know Christ from what they say, to know what Christ says. That Christ will say, it was said by Moses, but I say. So it is what Jesus said through the scriptures that is true. Huh? So Jesus have to go back to Moses and say Moses. That's why in the end of time, he's the speaker. God who at some time and diverse manner speak in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us. So the only voice we are here to read today is what the Son says. So when we are reading David, who are we hearing? The Son, what of the Son? We are not hearing David. It's the Son. That's the difference between when you have found doctrine and when you have not found doctrine, and you're trying to live righteousness, you'll be studying David to live. You'll be studying character to live. Can you see that? You have not found doctrine. When you find doctrine, you see everything in Jesus. If David has a heart, what heart does not David have? That's not a heart of Jesus. So the real heart that David has is Jesus' heart. It's Jesus' heart. If you don't look for Jesus, you will get lesser than the real heart if you look at David straight. But David is not perfect. Say, hey, man. Do you get what I'm saying today? So scripture is vital, but scripture is the base through which the divine persons are revealed. And what I'm just saying is that we have to know scriptures. You have to be a child of scriptures. You have to like scriptures. You have to like to read scriptures, study scriptures. Study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to like scriptures. You have to cram scriptures. Yes. You will cram scriptures. That's why if the children are still younger, they can cram a whole chapter. Because when you need them, it's what you have that they will remind you of. You can't fetch what you don't have. It's what has been stored that they fetch. And scriptures are like wood. When the fire is burning, if you want more fire, what do you do? Put more wood. So every time you have a scripture, light shines on the scripture, it gives you more fire. Give more fire. If you are a preacher, fire keep going on. Except, he said, if the fire does not, if there's no wood, the fire goeth out. Where there's no wood, fire goeth out. So scriptures are fire. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. When it's the place when it has become ashes, what happened? Wood stop. There had been fire there before. Say amen. Fire can burn for 1,000 years as long as there's wood. As long as there's wood. That's the fire in your kitchen. Can burn for 1,000 years. If you can have the next wood. Next wood. But somebody's not sleeping. Somebody will be there to be on duty. Next wood. That fire will go for 1,000 years. They say, where did they make that fire? 1,000 years ago. It goes out because there's no more wood. So a preacher can sustain fire as long as there's wood. Once he has this, the doctrine, the understanding, you need wood to keep strengthening the understanding. So, knowing scripture is not to be compromised. It has to be a thing. In today's world, in today's message, in today's, you know, in our community today, there's a lot of scriptural study and reading and preaching and teaching. And beyond that, you still have to know the scripture. Go there yourself and open the thing. Let the Bible know you. Let this book know that there's somebody called Daniel. And the way you, this one is already ripe for changing now. But you see, it's not easy for me to change my Bible. But it's already ripe for change. I have to change very soon. Amen. The Bible should, when they open it, they should know that you use the Bible. In the way you read, in the way you browse, in the way you search, you read, you study, you search, and that place you compare. You're looking at this, looking at that, looking at that, looking at that. Sometimes I feel like having a screen that can divide into four. And having, and originally I think I'm going to have a room like that. I can have a big screen where I can divide Bible on the screen. And I just feel, I'm not saying of the reason, I think this book is limiting me. I need a screen like that. To put Nehemiah there and put David there and put that one there and put that down. I'm going to see the way they marry themselves. Amen. That's the way a man should live his life. You see your future while you are alive. You see your future, you see your world, you see what you are living for while you are alive. And so, tonight, I want us to make commitment in our heart to know that you will be a weak preacher without the scriptures. You'll be weak. You won't be able to help souls. You won't be able to save souls. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Are we together tonight here? So, allow this be. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth me morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear. Can you see? As the hear of the learned. So you should be a learned in the spirit. Or learned in scriptures. Should be a learner. You should not be an ugbelly. Huh? Always on the back thinking, when do you see that thing? Where do you see that thing? Where is it there? Is it there? I don't know. Okay. Scripture is not ordinary. So we're going to use scripture till Jesus will come. As long as we preach Jesus, the scripture will always come alive and will always be needed at all times. Hallelujah. We know the other things we get from scriptures, they are ready for our learning. That we through comfort of scriptures may have hope, all of that there. Is that general learning, all of that is scriptures. But concerning salvation is first of all doctrine, okay? Then from there, you can still reproof, you can see other things. Correction in righteousness, instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect or mature of age. The man of God there is not the pastor. That the man, anybody who is not a child, who is a man, may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's no area of life where it's unprofitable. Because he knows the will of God in them. Amen. Say amen. You can't walk word of the Lord unto all pleasing without having access to instruction of righteousness. That's why he says that he might walk word of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. You can't go into good work without walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So you must have access to light that shone in scripture about nearly everything about life. That's how you can be fruitful in every good work, which guarantees or prepares you or places you to increase in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Are you blessed with that? And so, scriptures, it's not first of all verses, they are thoughts. They are thoughts. You don't read scriptures as verses, you read them as thoughts. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God. Now for children who are in the beginner classes, that is okay for them. But you see, can you see all of that? The next verse, it moves straight to tell you why it says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Huh? All things were made by Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. Can you see that? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So it's a continuous thought. Once the Spirit of Christ rests on the Spirit to write, it's a spill of thoughts. It's going somewhere to let you know that there's a light that has been before that God ordained men to live by. And that's the light that will give men life. And that Jesus is that light. John is not that light. Jesus is that light. And John bore witness and said, I'm not. That is the essence of that whole place. So, what breath to you? What breath? When I say breath, what breath divine energy to you? It's the thoughts. It's the thoughts. So it's good to know what the verses say, read them, cram them, but you must know the thoughts in them. What is God saying through them? So, as scriptures, every scripture that flows that way has its thought. That's number one. Are you getting that? Then, there's a way God also connects thoughts to thoughts for interpretation of thoughts. So, you can say that there are thoughts in God's heart. Some of the thoughts are straight in scriptures. When you read the scriptures down like that, Paul is the son of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, interpreted on the gospel of God, which he had for. When you read that one, there are thoughts. And there are also thoughts that the Holy Ghost will have to teach us by taking thoughts. When it's a spiritual thing, it's spiritual thought. That the God thing is thought. And my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. So God is thought. So when you hear the word things of God are thoughts of God. Who knows the things of a man save the spirit of man? And the things of a man are the thoughts of a man. So also the things of God knoweth no man. Can you see that? Save the Spirit of God. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So it's the Spirit of God that knoweth the thoughts of God, knoweth the things of God, thoughts of God, the Spirit of God. That's why he has revealed them to us. Can you see? So those things are revealed. So they are thoughts that are revealed. Are you there with me, please? But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Searcheth all things. Now all things God. All thoughts God. After all things, you hear all things. They are things of the new world. Things of God, things of the Father, things of Christ. They are called all things. All things. Searcheth all things, yea. The deep things of God. So God God is thoughts. So I know the thought that I think towards you, say the Lord. So his thoughts. His thoughts. And that's why when you look at the way God made man, that's why man is a being of thoughts. What made us different from other animals is our thoughts. We think in a way that no animal can think like. No animal can think like the way we think. So that makes us, that's why God can connect to us. It's in thoughts. Say, come, let us reason together. What are you reasoning? Thoughts. Come, let us reason together. God said, let us reason. Because it's thoughts. You know, you can get what he's thinking. He's also picking what you are thinking. But you don't, you think, you don't say what you are thinking. Say, come, let's just think it. Let's say it out. Say out what you are thinking. Then I will tell you what I'm thinking. Because sin also is a thought. I don't know what I'm saying. Say, though your sin be as scarlet. So reasoning is needed to deal with your sins. Your sins be as scarlet. They shall be as white as snow. Though they be as red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's why the way you think is very vital. If the God does not affect the way you think, you have not been saved. The oil on your head in anointing can be dripping, but your thoughts, if it's not, we are not thinking God. Then you are low. So, when you see the old scriptures, you will see that. That is the understanding. And as you can see that in that place, that should be 1 Corinthians, let's see that place. 2. Amen. Are we going on very well today? Yeah. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. So what the princes knew are thoughts. Had they known it, they would have not crucified the love of grace. So why they did what they did was that they were saying, we were thinking. They could submit their reasoning to Satan to wire them with what he wants to do. And they felt they were in the right direction until they have crucified the Lord of glory. Because they were not subscribing to God's thoughts. So God gave them over. Amen. As it is written, I have not seen nor the ear heard, neither have entered into the heart. What's entering? What is man hearing? What is ear hearing? Thoughts. Thoughts. I have not seen nor ear heard. But I have not seen. Heart has not understood. Nor hear heard. Man has entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them. This is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. The thought of good, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, or to give you what is called an expected end, or my expected end. So it is the Holy Ghost. Can you see how the Holy Ghost delivered it? God has prepared them for, you know, that God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man, that which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world. Not the Spirit that teacheth the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things, the thoughts that are ours, that are freely given to us of God. Which things, these thoughts, also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual thoughts. So he will take a thought from Psalm and pick a thought from Proverb and marry it together. And you will see the plan of God. You see the word of God. You see the vision of God. You see the interpretation of the vision. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's how we grace in the scriptures, okay? Praise God. I went in the house together. So you can see that scriptures are, without it, forget about finding Jesus. Yeah, forget about it. That's why you have to be there and let the thought be breathing to you. Mostly, the thought of comparing spiritual to spiritual is the Holy Ghost that does it. Yes, it is the thought of scriptures you have. But when you want to preach, Holy Ghost will just fetch. On your own, there's little you can see by fetching. Amen. But that power of preaching, move it from your own power and comes in and begin to compare things with things. And things begin to flow. Begin to flow until you stop. Hallelujah. So, that is how. So if Paul was saying this to the Corinthian church, for example, it means that the Corinthian church also are meant to move in there. Because they are the word of things that are freely given to us, not freely given to the apostle. Freely given to us. So it's not only minister, it's not the pastor or apostle that should be comparing spiritual with spiritual. No. Us. I've had instances where it would look as if there's nothing to say. Though you have ate some bread before in the past, here and there. And you just find your heart. I just feel I should just say something to this person. And you start it. You open the tap, and the tap is no more closing. It's just gushing. Bah, 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 bah. And I say, I say, no, just, no, I'm not even true. I mean this one. You are just going, just say, oh, to. Like Agrippa said, Paul! He screamed in his language, Paul! And it's Festus. Thou art beside thyself. Amen. Agrippa said, thou nearly made me a Christian. You nearly, Paul, that's Agrippa. You nearly made me a Christian. It means it was at the verge of decision. Paul moved him to the verge of, he put leg this way and said, Paul, don't take away my crown. The Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Amen. I went in the house in that place. So the Lord is going to, I believe that after this whole thing, I don't know what God is going to do, to put discipline of scriptures on in the house here. Yeah, we're going to bring in culture of discipline. Eh? I was thinking about it today. Yes, that can ensure you go through Bible. Even if it's just Bible once in a year, At least that is a fair discipline, Abby. We must start equipping our children with that diligence of not only hearing message, but reading Bible.
Are my blessings, thoughts are my spiritual blessing. Invest in them. Invest in them. Invest in them. Invest in them. They are written in scriptures. They are in scriptures. They are in scriptures. Thoughts are my spiritual blessings, and they are in scriptures.
Amen. Wealth is in scriptures. Oro. Oro. If you want oro, then one oro.
Help. I enter into the depths, the heights, the width, the breadth of scriptures of the word of God. For that is my wealth, spiritual blessings.
Amen. Say amen. And that's one thing we have to begin to know in the gospel. I understand that Jesus affirmed, and Jesus himself clearly demonstrated the ministry of preaching the word and the accompanying miracles. Let me just share a little bit about that area, okay? Amen. It's in all scriptures how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. It's there in the book of Mark. All these signs Apollo did not believe in my name. Is that right? They will speak in tongues. They will cast out devils. Okay. And what again? They shall take up serpents, and if they drink them, deadly things shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I call them signs that shall follow, not signs that shall be before. Shall follow. Hebrews chapter 2 is also talking about Jesus himself, who began the preachings. You know, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord, and was confirmed of the words by them that heard him. Are you there with me? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Can you see things here? With signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Why should he put signs and wonders and diverse? Why are they classed differently? And gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. So, now what the church today has none more is the area of miracles. Miracles. And I say to us that I believe in miracles. I think you know that. I believe in miracles. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, Matthew 4, he's talking about Jesus in verse 23 there. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Are you there with me? And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had a palsy, and he healed them. So, anybody who says, I don't believe in miracles, you're not a believer. I believe in miracles, and I strongly believe in miracles. I strongly believe in miracles that I expect me the miraculous. Yeah. But if you get close to me and the way we teach all of that, you wouldn't know that. Because it's not something I emphasize as teaching. Because the gospel is complete without miracle. All these things were written by people who follow Jesus. If somebody else will write, if Jesus will write it, many things you see will not be in the Bible. When I pray for people, I expect intervention. I expect God to move in there and bring deliverance. So it's not just I believe in it. But I understand that I understand the place of miracle. Miracle as what God used to follow preaching and the wonder itself of preaching. Because preaching itself is not just mere words. Preaching has its own power. Preaching has its own spirit. Preaching has its own wonder that is not miracle. For example, the Bible says, my children, which the Lord has given to me, are signs and wonders. They don't do signs. They are signs. They are signs and wonders. And we saw one signs in the earth, wonders in the heaven. So it's talking about raising people. When people are raised in the earth, there are wonders, signs in the earth. When they are raised for that, they become wonder in the heavens. So I understand that wonders itself is the effect of the word. When the word works in a place, it produces wonder, which is not the miracle. Now, in today's world, we join wonder and miracles together. Say amen. When you get through scriptures more wider, you will see everything of signs. And signs and wonders are actually meant to close the age. I think January is the last year. Last year, I was teaching about the constellation of the heavenlies in terms of the stars. Galaxies. Yes. That's where wonders are displayed. Say amen. I pray the Lord will give us understanding in this area. Because you need understanding to be stabilized there. Because there's a way the miracles and miraculous always wants to come and distract the message. People thinking that miracles are needed and they are needed when they are needed. And sometimes they are not needed. Say amen. This morning now, has any miracle happened in your life? What was the miracle? And so when you say miracle of opening of the eyes, it's not miracle, it's wonder. If your physical eye open, it's miracle. If you are blind, if your inner eye open, it's wonder. So what's supposed to go with message itself? It's signs and wonders. They're miracles. Signs and wonders are closer to the message. They are miracles. Miracles come after. Both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles. He didn't put them together. It's like when you are burning fire, coal is part of the fire. What did I say? Because there are fire made by coal. Your food can be cooked by coal without seeing fire. Just the heat. So coal is part of the fire. But ashes is not part of the fire. You didn't get what I said. So wonder is coal. Miracle is ashes. That's why wonder is needed as part of the message. Matthew 24. Praise God. Amen. Are you with me today? For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say it unto you, behold, it is he is in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Are you there with me? For were there so by the carcasses, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribe of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. So the Son will come with the cloud, with signs and wonders. They are part of the Son. I don't know what I'm saying now. And they are part of the fire. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. I'm just trying to say that it is effect of the fire that produces the coals. Okay? Let's see the way it's expressed in 1 Corinthians. It's going to help us further. Amen. Are we here today? There's a song we used to sing those days. I believe in miracle. Yes, I believe in God. I've seen the souls set free. Miraculous, unchanging one. Redeemed through Calvary. I've seen the lily push his way up through the stubborn soil. I believe in miracle. I believe in God. That's why you see gift of the Spirit and letto. Make some impossible things real to you. When you want to go to the realm of your miracles, you need the gift of faith. You need all those gifts to open to believe that a paralyzed feet can walk. All of that, I saw the Holy Ghost do it. Say, hey, amen. Are we together, please? Oh, and I believe we're gonna have miracles when we do what God want the church to be like. Amen. It was God working with them, doing that. You can't by your energy bring miracle. It's when the church meet up with the arrangement God ordained for this time. But there's an arrangement of God that God has for the church part time. There's a Jesus that appeared Jordan. And there's an approver of that appearance that made Jesus at 29 was not known to be doing miracles. Was not known to do miracles. Yet he's being raised. He has even become Christ at 29, all of that. Because at Jordan, he has come to the living Father. Huh? Yet there was no attendant miracle to it. So it was God who anointed Jesus with that miracle. You can't do miracles. It's God that does miracles. That's why church cannot push miracle. It's wrong for church to push miracle. Church should believe in miracle, not push it. Your fasting does not do miracles. It's when God begins to do miracles that your fasting will make sense. And you'll have seen that the season has changed for it. You'll just see it. That it just, in pray for that headache, something has happened beyond what you expect. In pray for that, things just happen at a point you know that something's with us already that was not there before. So if we now apply other things to it, to make it, it's like they have given you the food. You are trying to make it toast, to be in the good plate, to serve it. Uh-huh. But you must see the food first. It is God that doeth that. Or else you'll be disgraced many times. Yes. Because you invite people for things you cannot do, you'll be disgraced many times, and you'll be frustrated. And the message you are preaching will be weak in your mouth. What should have strengthened the message will weaken the message. So you're making God a liar. Don't push miracles. Don't. As we keep on obeying the Lord and doing His will, seeking His will, we will strike the harmonics of the sense of God deciding to come in that way. Jesus got there at Jordan, so God came in. So also there's the way the church, God expects the church to be like with this message. When the church moved there, it may not even be we that will be administering it. You'll be hearing that just is so there. He just prays for something that happened. And you must be hearing things happening all over the places. Because in the last day, to start with, it was Jesus it was staying with. Then it was staying with the apostles. But in the plan of God, in the last days, to be the sons of God. So if truly God is raising sons in our days, then we should expect the miraculous among the sons. Gift of Christ to do their work and allow God to come in when it's time. I am not under tension to show anything in this matter. I'm not under tension. I'm not that one sign of approval. My work is clearly described for me, and it's not for me for do for years. But I also know that the work will get to a place in divine alignment that God will be able to show for that dimension. Say amen. But it's my job to ensure that the wonders are there and the signs are there. Say amen. 1 Corinthians. Let's see 1 Corinthians, please. Oh. Amen. Let me read from chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech, are you there? And my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. This is not that demonstration of the Spirit was following my message. The message was in demonstration. My speech was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What is called power of God is the power of the message. That power is not miraculous power. There's a power that belongs to the message. There's miraculous power. There are two different powers. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So when we preach the gospel, we should enter into the spirit of the gospel and the power of the gospel. that make men start seeing what you are saying. They start seeing the sun by your preaching. It's not just your word anymore. Your word has moved a piece of picture. It's demonstration. So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man or in the acumen of man's intelligence, but in the power of God. And Paul says, the Christ message is the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. The power of God is message. It's this power of the message. The message can be word. It can be spirit. The message can be word, can be power. And for a preacher, that should be enough for you. And let God do the miracle. Let God bring the instant that will need your obedience and see what it will do. Because the job has been done before. I don't know what I'm saying. When the spirit comes and power comes, job has been done. Because even if you do the miracle, you still need the spirit of power for conversion. Miracle can never convert any soul. It can never. Souls will eat your miracle and go away with it. The one your miracle not do, they will go to the Baba that will do it. Yes. If they brought 10 things to you, and you do 7 of it, the 3 of it, they will go to the person they allow, afar who will help them to finish the rest. Because what they came for is the result. Amen. So you can see there, my speech. Now my speech is, like we said, my speech is my message. Abi. My speech, my message, my speech, my message. John 6:63 says, the word I speak to you, they are spirit. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit. And they are life. They are spirit. So message can be just words alone. A message can be words and spirit. So a preacher must know how to start with words and how to enter spirit. And spirit is not just trying to behave anyhow. It's to move to a place when the light and the glory of the spirit takes over what you are saying and is making it so lucid and piercing than what you are saying words. And converting so beyond what you are saying. What you see Agrippa said there is spirit. To see Agrippa, to see Festus shout, that's a wonder. To see him shout, He was arrested. He was like a slave to Paul. That's the place that we know is ours all the time. And so, when you are taking up the word of God and preaching, that should be what you are praying for, Lord. Grant spirit. Grant words, grant spirit. Grant words, grant life. Let there be life. When we see people say, they understand. They understand. And they see possibility of living it. It's life. They are seeing themselves in it. They are seeing themselves in it. It's life. So with my words, when I speak, my words are spirit. Say amen. And they are what? They are life. Let me read chapter 4 in that place, chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So people say all these things to mean it's not miracle. It's not miracle. You must know the difference between those power of the message and power of miracle. The church has known power of miracle, not the power of the word. When the word becomes abundant under the spirit, you see spirit. When did the water turn to wine? When? And in just, it's in the obedience of the servant. Fill the water pot with wine, with water. Take out of it, go and give to the master of the ceremony. Between the pot and the master's table, he changed the wine. But you must have filled the water pot with wine, with water. Just fill your heart with the word, with message, with the word, with scriptures, with thoughts. Fill your hearts. And obey the master in preaching. You see spirit. You see power. And that power of message can also do miracle. But it won't do it like stretch your leg. You just feel like that my energy enter into you and brought you health. What happens when you hear a message and you just feel that all that everything that's gone wrong is just, I'm not seeing it. It's not the miracle of Holy Ghost. It's the power of message that goes to your heart, through your heart, born to your body. You just feel that some trouble you have seen before, you are not seeing them anymore. On that message is the power of the message. That's not miraculous power. So when somebody say, yeah, I'm having this, just keep on hearing. Keep on hearing. The meaning is that the power of the message. You may not have the power of the miracle every day, but you can have the power of the message every day. As much as we trust God to go beyond what we can ask or think and all of that, after we have done but our part, that he should do his own part in the way he wants to do it. Can you see what I'm saying? That's also faith in our part. After you have done, you want to do all you can do in obedience to him and through the message as a faithful steward who delivers meat. Then we also allow to be to do what he only can do. What you can do, only you can do it. No man can do it. Is that what we sing? Only you can do what no man can do, Jehovah. Only you can do what no man can do, Jehovah. Let no man say, I can do miracle. Only you can do what no man can do, Jehovah. That's what we know. And we open space for it. We pray for people. We open time for intervention and let him move the way he wants to move. But my job as a preacher is the message, is the spirit, is the power of it. Let me read one more scripture to us. So I need to bring in many scriptures on this area because it's like I'm dealing with what? Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me see that place. Then we can make progress more tonight and see how far we can go. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. Have we been blessed at all? I believe this is does it look like a school? Is a school of the spirit. So, 1 Thessalonians, let's see chapter 1. I read from verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. But also in power. I think nobody can argue this one, Abby. and in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance. So the work of this power and the Holy Ghost is assurance. We must understand this arena very well as the arena of a preacher. And that's why they had serious result in this place. Paul had serious result in Thessalonians. Just when they got there, the word came. Not only in words. You know what Apollos brought to his words? His words. And this couple made him know the way of the Spirit. Amen. If I follow John the Baptist, you must be a worded man. Baptist is a scripture man. It's scripture, much word, by much word. They now instructed him better in the way of the Lord. So the way of the Lord is in word, not only in words alone, but also in spirit, also in power, and in the Holy Ghost. That's what produces the much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and with joy. So we must know that our job is to make men followers, right? That's what we're doing, to make men followers of God. It's not a proof that we are a mighty man of God. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Say amen. We're not trying to prove to show that we are now mighty men or no. No. We are simply God's people, God's children. Who have found mercy to make known to man the heart of God. I want the house, please. So it does not, we are not trying to achieve one CV by it. And that's why, like I always say, if John the Baptist can achieve that result with only word, the whole of Israel were coming to John. And John had result of conversion by water. So you understand exactly. And let me tell you one thing. When Jesus was, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he was with the apostles for 43 days or so. 3 days after, 7 days, for 40 days. 40 days. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things, in those 40 days, he was not doing any miracle. There was no record of one miracle that Jesus Christ did in 40 days. Jesus after the resurrection, sir. I'm just trying to let you know timing of the Spirit. You can't just read Agin book. I want to do miracle of Agin now. The church movement is not where Agin was. So it's not enough to just want to. Sometimes I want to combine gospel and call it full gospel. There's no full gospel. Gospel is what God is doing per time. So they were full gospel. We believe in Jesus, the healer, Jesus, this one. You are wasting. You don't understand the movement of the Spirit. How can Jesus be with in a place? Jesus, they say that we read it in Matthew 4. Every evening, every day. I'm sure if Jesus was still going to miracles there, there would be more than 120. We attract more people who are not ready for the movement. For 4 days, he was only speaking about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So, listen. You now know training. For just to have the discipline of the Spirit. Not to move into miracle at that time. Knowing that is now the Son of God glorified. and he can do anything. But he doesn't do all things because the Father who trained him has taught him how not just to do anything. He does only what the Father doeth. So the Father is not doing miracles. Father is not, it's not healing every day. If it's in every day, the man at the gate will not be there. That's why till Jesus will come, Christian will be sick and will die. It's not that they don't have faith. Go and check when Christians are sick. You will see all manner of books on healing. Books on that one. All manner of books of aching. Some people buy 10 books, 15 books for them to get their healing. They still die. Are you saying they don't have faith? So it's God's sovereignty. For now, God is not healing everybody who is sick. What God is saying is saving all men. God will will that all men be saved. You have to know all of that very well. And we prayed. And we anointed. And we prayed. Yeah, God. When we see, we ask questions. Don't ask any question. Don't ask any question. It's not the first sin that will die. And won't be the last one. Paul said, I prayed that God had mercy on me. God will have died. He will have died. If he died, nothing will happen. But you also saw that I should not add sorrow to sorrow. So God had mercy on me. Or else Epaphroditus would have died. Tell me, who is man other than Paul? Is out of that same Paul's body they take away anchor shifts and apron? That's what Paul says. God showed me, not the anointing. Only one reason. I just feel only one reason. God knows that I don't sorrow too much. I shouldn't have sorrow to sorrow. It means they have prayed. They don't anoint oil. They have done everything possible. They have brought him to where Paul was teaching. Nothing happened. Until God just showed mercy. And this guy just came healed. So, it's not a place. That place can make you a false prophet. Because you go to a place that you cannot return back. Go to a place that everybody will expect so much from you. And you want to show something. And you will go to organize miracles. Don't go there. Preach, pray for people, minister to them, and lead them to God. Be happy that the word of God has gone forth with great power and has achieved its purpose. Say amen. Somebody has to do a work of miracle in this place. Maybe need you come. A miracle also has to happen now. This crew just removed. Amen. Paul himself came under assault. Under assault, and he prayed. He prayed. Three times he didn't just pray. He went to go and besought the Lord. He took time out. The first time, the Lord said nothing. Second time, the Lord said nothing. Third time, the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, Paul. You will do everything you should do." not minding how you do it. But everything you do, nothing will remain. And the power, that the power of Christ, and he said that my strength is made perfect in weakness. The way you are, you will function more when you are weak. And that was the last time Paul besought the Lord. Not that the Lord took it away. Paul became encouraged to know that it's not the devil at work. It's the Lord that was at work. Most gladly, therefore, for that point, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. So when you see Paul talking about this weakness many times, he knew the key. That's how power rests. You will not see Paul talk about exploit. Is that how weak he is? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then, it is then, not after, it is then, am I strong. So I want to beg you, my people everywhere you are, okay? Gospel has its own power, has its own wonder, has its own spirit. You have done the wonder. Praise God. Say amen. The time is flying today. Let me just So, there are things that we must understand and open ourselves to when you are preaching. Things your message should achieve. And you must also cooperate with it. Because it's not you that will decide it, it's the Lord that will decide it. But when you understand the mode of the Spirit in those manner, you allow it. For example, when you preach the word of God, the intention of the Spirit may be to convict. Sometimes the Spirit's intention is to convict. So it will give you scriptures, a manner of speech for conviction. What's conviction? To make people know or aware of their wrong state, to make heart know. So heart must be made known that your position was wrong. So it convicts. Is that what conviction means? Say amen. So it means that message is not just all that. And there's a time it comes like illumination, but that sometimes it comes as conviction. Or else you won't let go some lifestyle if there's no conviction. Some lifestyles are already with us for a long time. Some of them you got them from your father. It's complying with your nature. It's not troubling you. When you see the Jews killing prophets, it's inherited. They don't sorrow over it. Hello? Jesus weep over Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that you may know the," how do you put it there? I mean, the thing that pertains to your salvation. Let's see that place. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You're not there. What unto you? For you build the sepulchre of the prophets and your fathers killed them. That's there. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. That thou would have known the time of thy visitation. Mark 23:37. Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent to you. So they are known for it. Jesus said, no prophet die outside Jerusalem. If he's somewhere before, he must get to Jerusalem for him to be killed. If it's time for him to die, he must move down there. So what I'm just saying is that they are not Killing prophets is no more a problem. It's no more. So for Saul to hear that, it's not a serious problem for him. They just add the list. The stone Stephen, they just add to the list of the how many people they have. You know, they can't have. You know, people that will be killing today, that will be shooting guns, and they will be shouting the name of their God. Yeah, it's just the same spirit, the same spirit. So when you have souls like that one, what can touch them is conviction. They must have conviction in their heart. Ah, so God can give you words. That's why you can't just say. You can't be a preacher and have a manner that is just yours alone. You must be dynamic with the Spirit to do what the Spirit wants to do. When he wants to bring conviction, you don't try to make it light. Are we right together, please? You can see that clearly in the message of Peter. You see, Peter did the same. Stephen did the same. Abby. Let's see that 7. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? At the wrong, at the misfire. People who could boast before to hear a message and say, what shall... When they heard these things, they were caught to the heart and they gnashed on him, that's Stephen. They rushed at him. It's not every message that will go like that. Okay? That's why you can't say, I want to copy Peter's message. It's a message. And preach like, no, you don't do that. You can only learn the manner of delivery of Peter and know the manner of spirit, how the spirit worked in Peter to deliver that message. Say, hey, man. I'm sure it's done that Peter planned to. The spirit of, when you preach, it's spirit that has intention. You don't have intention. You're only obeying God. So you can only cooperate with the intention of the spirit. It's the one that will supply the mindset, the scriptures, and the manner of speaking of scriptures. You can speak the same scripture that one can convict, one can enlighten. The same scripture you use. And it's the spirit behind it that make it like that. Maybe you are the kind of person that when you talk, people cry, and you just like people cry. No, you won't be a good preacher. Because not every time the spirit wants such a cry. Or a soul will arrange themselves to cry for you. They're not crying for their sin, they will cry for you. So that you can be happy. And feel that you have done your job. So you know in those days, people that we must fall. Were you there in church? In fact, if you don't fall, something must be before you. If you don't fall, your head will go break. When they start turning your neck like a turning your neck this way, you must quickly follow. Because somebody told them that's how you know the power of the Spirit. In fact, for some people, you got to a point that they can creep you from the ground. So a preacher must not have his own manner of. That's my own way. No. You must be open to the Spirit. Having aware now of manner of how the Spirit takes preachers up to go in a way to reach out. Because the major job is to reach out. There's to reach heart. And so if you go in your own manner, you may not reach the heart. And so, John 8, let me see John 8, 8. Let's quickly read that place, John 8, 8. I'm trying to rush now so we can finish before the next 30 minutes. And again he stooped down. That was concerning the woman that was caught in adultery. And there which... And wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. What happened to them? Went out one by one. Beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Can you see that? Nobody told the other one, leave. By what Jesus Christ said, the stone became heavy in their hand. And one by one, by the conviction reaching his peak, the stone will fall. When the conviction reached the peak, the stone will fall. Until the last one. Jesus knew that once the Jews carry stone, it would take conviction for them to drop it. So the Spirit has to move him to say words in a way that can reach the heart for that purpose. And every one of them dropped their stone. Left the woman standing alone. Say, hey, man. So sometimes that could be what the Spirit wants to do. You can be in a place and people have been living a life, habitual life of sin. And if you're someone that say, I don't preach against sin, we don't even come via sin. We're going to learn later on. But some of them, sometimes you can, the Spirit can combine two, three methods, two, three manner to reach a soul. At a point, they can just leave it on issue of that sin. The blood takes care of that sin. It takes care of that matter. The blood reads, no matter how it has been in your life, you just make words at another time that just give the power of possibility to that heart to know that that way of life is wrong. So, the message can go, it can start that way, it can end that way. It can be in the middle. Amen. If you look at this Peter, we may have to read through this Peter's message in any way and see the movement of the message and see different parts of the manner of the Spirit demonstrated in the message. Say amen. So, it just means that you have to be pliable. You must be pliable, you must allow the Holy Ghost. You must allow the Holy Ghost, you must be aware of the Holy Ghost, you must be aware of what he can do that you cannot do. And so, you want to allow him to have his way. Say amen. It can also be to persuade. You can speak in a manner that is for persuasion. It's not just to make someone know that it's wrong, but to make somebody fully accept. You know, sometimes like I always tell people that when somebody gets born again, it may not be your message that got them born again. He has been hearing, but your own can be the last persuasion. That made him conclude. So, persuasion is for conclusion. When you see Festus cry, it was about Agrippa said to Paul, always thou persuadest me. He was nearly at the brink. It's not every message you preach that can persuade. There's a way the Spirit will say it and can persuade men. It can be like supplying more scriptures to clear doubts. I told about the meeting we had sometimes in London, all of that. And somebody screamed in the meeting because what? All the things he has been holding as reason why he should not go that way was fully caught. And he screamed. So it's like, all I was holding on was taken away from me. And so to decide to follow the Lord becomes easier. Because the devil actually put things in us. Exactly when you have gone through, maybe before you have gone through four churches. Sincerely saying, I want to serve the Lord Jesus. And sincerely, you just got that it was wrong. It was wrong. When, if you get to the fifth one, even when they are saying it like, I don't want to be at home on Sunday. I'm not ready for all those seriousness. The man will be talking, sweating. Because in your heart, you don't want to give your heart anymore. You know what I'm saying? Your past experience has told you, giving your heart enslaves you. But sometimes you get a point in the talk that erode all the ground you have. And you just know that you can't hold back anymore. That's when you give your heart more to the Lord. Say amen. So, there's that dimension of pursuit. And so Paul has much of that. I think also that in the message of Peter, 36, let's say 36 of that place, of that chapter 2 of Acts 2, 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly. Know assuredly. Can you see that? That God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So the essence of one of the main mind of Peter's message is that they will know assuredly. It means that all the while Christ was with them, they also have been looking at it. Is it not Christ? They have gone to John to ask, "Is that not the Christ?" So there's a little glimpse of feeling it may be Christ, so, but that message is to finish that matter. And sometimes the Lord can prepare your heart ahead of time. You can still be a Muslim friend who has been playing around the gospel. He knows many things about the gospel is true. But somewhere there, it's not just you are praying to God that one day, Lord, you will bring an encounter with this guy that will pass with him. It can be used that the Lord will use. Except somebody else. And somebody will come at that point and it will be as if he's hearing the gospel the first time. He has been seeing things there. It's about this man. One of this. They call him Nabil. There's one Nabil. Nabil Koreshi. Yeah, he's a friend to David Wood. Amen. You must know some of these people very well. There's a part of the gospel they hold, and they're very, very vital. And you must also know that part of the gospel, okay? There are a lot of God's children doing a lot of job in many places that is not like the church system. Okay? And great jobs have been done. So, God has great gift and grace in many places. When you hear Sam Shamon, for example, where Sam Shamon, you will know that some level of conviction will come upon people in some dimension. Amen. So, for a long time, he's been close to David Wood, and I've been playing all of that, feeling that one of these days I will convert David Wood. And yes, he has been feeling one of these days, David Wood will be. So he loves him, and he should be a Muslim. He didn't know that David Wood was also waiting for him. So one day, they just decided that, okay. And this was the view that tell him, "Go and tell me everything about everything in your book that can make me a Muslim." So he was bringing them every day. They would do with supply thoughts to it, papa, papa, and all it, papa, papa, and all it. It was like that for like 1 week. He now felt there's no problem. Let me also face you, because he felt he had some issues about faith. About Christianity. He began to believe that. One. They would just take scriptures and their Quran. Open it, explain it. Wow. You go and fish another one. Until he fetched all the last one and nothing was remaining. So he knew that he would be deceived. Though he has not decided to be a Christian, but he knew he would be deceiving himself. Sincerely, he would be lying to himself. If there's anything remaining to believe in that faith. So it's not like to believe it, to be a Christian, but he can't be the other one anymore. Everything that he has strength there has been dissolved. And that was another journey for him to agree to be a Christian. Say, hey, man. And, he later died after some years after it with cancer, all of that. And many of the Muslims were abusing him. You better get converted before you die. All of that. He was persuaded. Because for him to have given his life at that time to Christ and got down with cancer, that could have been a thing. If it was healing that brought him in, he could go back. Because that cancer killed him. But on his last day on the bed of sickness, he was affirming his assurance. Assurance that even the wife, after he died, continued his work. So that's what persuasion can do. Amen. So sometimes that job could be a long job to be done. That's why sometimes it's not every time you want to get the result immediately. Sometimes you just know you should stop. You just know you should stop. At this point, I should stop. Just leave it. A job is being done. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's this. No, it was famously close friends with David Wood in college. Their intense theological debates and friendship at Old Dominion University ultimately led to Nambi's courageous, highly documented conversion to Christianity. Hallelujah. Let's see Acts. I was talking about where? Persuasion, right? Let's see Acts 18. Let's see Acts 18 and see a few places there. We move. I just want us to see the manner of delivery of the message and the need to yield ourselves to it in verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greek. So, why Paul was reasoning? Reasoning itself is another skill of messaging. And that is, you are ready, you are not rushing. You are not like the message of Peter. It's not like the message of Peter on day of God. No, it's not like, pa, 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 pa. That was meant to create prayer. Stephen, that was meant to create prayer. Pa, 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 pa. Now, Paul will sit down with you and will start listening. But the reasoning has an intention, is to persuade you. So he will be reasoning and will be putting the sense of more to ensure that you are persuaded. You're persuaded. Persuaded. Can you see that? So sometimes 2-3 of them combine in a message, in an interaction. But you just have to know that that's what the Spirit is doing. You are not the one doing it, but you know the Spirit, what the Spirit is doing, and you are engaging the Spirit supply more in that area. If you need more scriptures there, you are fetching more scriptures. You see what I'm saying now? So it's not just like one method. Okay, I'm here today. Good morning, in the name of Jesus Christ. I just came to bring a word to you, and I just want you to listen to me. It's not every time that can really work. So 18. So as Paul, okay, that's 17:2. As Paul and his manner was, went in unto them and 3 Sabbaths they reasoned with them out of the scriptures. This one is pure reasoning. Paul could do that for them for 3 Sabbaths and use the last Sabbath to finish it. He will come then for persuasion. It depends on the way the soul of men are. When you mean the soul, you know the nature of that soul. And so, you can yield yourself to the Spirit to allow you to come on. So, you're not tired. You're not put off. You're not trying to force conclusion. Okay, now, can you give your life to Christ now? Huh? Can we pray for you now? So, okay. No, no. Preach to a point, the man will say, what next thing should I do now? Pray for me. That's the job the preacher should do. Not that you have preached for 2 minutes and say, now can you give your life to Christ? You have not done the job. Even if you give life to Christ at that point, it can still go back. The job has not been done in the heart. You understand what I'm saying? So your job is to get the job done in the heart, then leave the response to God. When the response comes, then you have the response. But don't force the response. We do that many of the time in church. That's why people come out 10 times. Because we're the one that prayed them to come out.
Now somebody will say, yeah, go, your brother is with you, that means go out. Go out now. Go out. There's no conviction. You are putting the boy out. It's not in the coming out to count how many people came out. Save him. So, are we right in the house? After he has done that for you, it could be 5 years later that I will really be convinced. And that's when the job is done. So I was reading Acts 18, 4. Let's see 13, 4, 13. That's 18, 18, 13. Say, let's go to verse 12. And when Galileo, I was talking about 18, what? 18, 13, let's 12. And when Galileo was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuaded men to worship God. So then, even with that Paul, when you hear Paul, but we know that sometimes he reasons alone. But here, what they know about him is that this guy, you know, he won't let you go. He'll just be loading you with scriptures. Loading you. That's why we must be children of scriptures, okay? You are just loading from this loading. Such person can, you have to run away. What I wanted to do for that man that came that day was to load him. He ran away. On that same thought, I will open 10 scriptures. That it would be undeniable. You know I'm saying now, when it is big one, you'll be explaining it. But then you load with 10. You say, and that time. But he said, I will come back. I know he's not going to come back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's see one more scripture. See, maybe one. 19:26. Then 26. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, that's Paul, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul. Would they say this Denga, this Tunde, everywhere we know him. Everywhere in this city. He always persuade and turn away much people. Saying that there be no gods. That's the summary. And it's not going to say, there's no God. But he has the way of loading you. Loading you. Will you do this job? Will you answer God? You must answer God. Because the time has come upon you, I tell you. The time of the Spirit has come upon you, and you must answer. You must answer. Saying that there be no gods which are made with hands. And sometimes, in all the Paul say, you may not hear this language there. You may not hear there's no be no God. But in the way we bring the conclusion is that this guy has taken away all the gods. So in summary, there's no God made with hands. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we blessed today? Oh, my. I still have some three more ones to talk about here. I don't know. If we can't finish the thing, we will appoint another time again. Yes, if we can't finish it, I won't rush it because I believe that it's time of equipping. So it has to be done very, very patiently. Done patiently. The last one we have read before, that's in 26 of Acts. For the king knoweth of these things. I think it was 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak for the word of God of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For these things were not done in the corner. King Agrippa believeth, thou the prophet. See the way he asked. See, it's a crook preacher. He was asking him and asked. He knew he wouldn't have enough faith to answer publicly. So he asked the question and answered for him. Believest thou the prophet? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said. So those statements, that last one he made, was what broke it. Then he said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. For Paul is joy for him. Is joy. Preaching is joy. That's why I say, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe unto me. When he meets people, when he meets souls, he meets a friend. He wasn't just preaching to Agrippa, he was preaching to a soul. For him, he's enjoying that soul's nature. And he's enjoying dealing with that soul. He can be a king, it doesn't matter. He's enjoying a kind of soul. Paul is one wonderful vessel the Lord raised. With capacity and manner of the Spirit. And indeed, Paul brought great harvest. Brought great harvest across nations. Not just one kind of nation, across nations. He has a way of reaching to them. And because his dynamism in the Spirit of Christ allow him to be used in such manner. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you blessed tonight? And we appreciate the Lord for this evening. And bless him. Thank him.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.